We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, I shall continue the discussion of the occult movement, demon possession and exorcism. So many errors are taught and so many people are being influenced by the multitude of errors and general popularity of the occult movement, we believe that a thorough treatment of the subject is justified. I shall set forth the truth in regard to demons and exorcism and expose the various errors being promoted today. First, what are the definitions of these terms? Demonology, of course, is a study of demons. Demon possession refers to the inhabiting of the human bodies by evil spirits. Exorcism refers to the expelling of these evil spirits from human bodies. It is no more unreasonable to believe in the reality of bad spirits than in the reality of good spirits. It is not just a thing to be considered lightly, but most seriously. Is it not just as reasonable to believe that Satan has evil spirits who works with him in his cause for sin, as to believe that God has righteous spirits who work with him in the realm of good and true? God is the ruler over righteous spirits. Satan is the ruler over evil spirits. Just as there are good men, so there are bad men. Just as there are good angels which did not sin and thus kept secure their first estate, so there are angels that did sin and kept not their first estate. Peter and Jude refer to this in his statement, "For if God spared not angels when they sinned, but cast them down to hell," Tartarus, the marginal reference, "and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and angels that kept not their own principality, but left their proper habitation, he hath kept in everlasting bonds unto darkness unto the judgment of the great day." That's in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, and you will also read it in Jude 6. There is no doubt that the Bible refers to both good and bad angels. The Bible also makes mention of those angels that did not fall, but kept secure their former state. They will be identified as God's ministering spirits, sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation. Hebrews 1 verse 14. The Bible has much to say about the presence of evil spirits in the days of Christ and the apostles. According to Mark chapter 1, Jesus met a man with an unclean spirit in the synagogue at Capernaum and expelled him from that afflicted man. The Bible says in Matthew 4:24, "But they brought unto him all that were sick, holden with divers diseases and torments, possessed with demons and epileptic, and palsied, and he healed them. The 70 rejoiced, as recorded in Luke 10:17, as they returned from a mission on which Jesus had sent them, that even the demons, the Bible says, are subject unto us in thy name." The apostles frequently had experiences with evil spirits, such as Peter in Jerusalem, recorded in Acts 5:16, where he healed a number of unfortunate people who had been vexed with unclean spirits. While at Philippi, on his second missionary tour, Paul cast forth a spirit of divination from a certain maid. The Bible says in Acts 16:18, "But Paul, being sore troubled, turned and said to the spirit, I charge thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very hour." In the New Testament, there are two Greek words which are translated demon and devil. Demons is as one that we should consider as an evil spirit, and perhaps is a much more accurate translation than that of devils as it applies to those who possess evil spirits. In reality, there is only one devil, but many demons or unclean spirits under him. In ancient times, idolatry had demons associated with that system. Even though the idol was nothing, yet there were demons supposedly connected with the evil practices. No doubt, Paul had this in mind when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:20-21, "But I say that the things which are Gentile sacrificed, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that ye should have communion with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Now, what about the origin and the reality of evil spirits? Are they really demons or evil spirits? Some have denied the reality and suggested that evil spirits simply meant medical problems in the first century, which simply meant that people were possessed of various kinds of diseases. I reject this explanation and shall expose it more fully later. Concerning the origin and the reality of evil spirits or demons, there have been two primary ideas set forth as to the origin. First, evil spirits or demons of the New Testament times were simply disembodied spirits of evil men who have lived on earth and come back to afflict those that are still living. Now, that's one theory. I submit that there are some definite objections to this theory because it is so contrary to truth. How could a person accept this view and still oppose spiritualism, which is the theory of departed spirits from former people who have come back to the earth to influence other people in their daily lives? If these evil spirits or demons were really spirits of evil men who formerly lived, then how are we to understand Solomon's statement in the book of Ecclesiastes when he said that the dead know not anything? Ecclesiastes 9:5. This is a strong denial that the dead know what is going on in this world. Later in this same chapter, Solomon declared, "There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol, whither thou goest." Ecclesiastes 9:10. Yet the evil spirits, of whom we read in the Bible, had knowledge, engaged in a work of evil, and possessed satanic devices to hinder and harm those on the earth. The evil spirits described in the Bible also possessed great powers over those whom they afflicted. If they were simply the spirits of evil men who have departed from fleshly existence on earth, then these evil spirits were far more powerful while disembodied than they were while they inhabited the bodies of evil men in life. Secondly, it is believed that these evil spirits were the angels, spirit beings of Satan, perhaps the fallen angels spoken of in 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6. The power they wielded seems to harmonize with this explanation. And two, it is no more unreasonable to view the fact that they afflicted men than to view the fact that Satan afflicted people by walking about seeking whom he might devour as a roaring lion. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? Who else among spirit beings would be more interested in promoting Satan's work than the angels that fell? Angels of Satan, if you please, demons that work to the destruction of man. It is nothing short of amazing how many modern-day errors are clearly refuted by the affirmation of our Lord in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, in the narrative of Lazarus and the rich man. This inspired passage gives meaningful understanding concerning the identity of evil spirits and whether they be the spirits of evil men who once lived, or the angels who kept not their original estate, but fell and greatly fostered the work of Satan and seeking thwart Jehovah's work. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from hence to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from thence to us. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham saith, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. That's found in Luke 16:22-29. This scripture, ladies and gentlemen, forbids the idea that they in the spirit land of torments can cross over into the spirit land of Abraham's bosom, where there is comfort and ease. This passage forbids the idea that spirits of those departed, either good or evil, can be permitted to go back to the earth, either for the purpose of helping men or hindering men. The rich man had been evil in his life. If this were not true, he would not have been in the torment place in Hades after death. Yet, in the land of torment, he did not think in terms of desiring to come back and afflict men. Instead, he wanted someone to go back and warn his brethren lest they also come to that place of torment. The very nature of evil spirits in thy work in New Testament times leads us to favor the idea that they wanted to destroy people on earth mentally, morally, spiritually, socially, and bodily. They breathe the very spirit of Satan himself in seeking to obtain an even greater population for hell. Yet, that was not the spirit of the departed rich man in Hades recorded in Luke chapter 16. He was afflicted all right, but not interested in going back himself or having another Lazarus to go back for the purpose of afflicting people on earth. The departed Dives, which is a Latin term for riches, wanted to keep others from coming to torment where he was. But evil spirits, described in the New Testament, greatly desired to send additional souls to torment. This text is definite proof that spirits of the departed do not return for any kind of mission on this earth. Now, there are religious leaders today who look at the various passages wherein demon possession is mentioned and immediately conclude that demon possession in New Testament times was simply medical illness or diseases of one kind or another. For example, one writer has examined the cases of demon possession in Matthew 8 and 9 and 12 and 15 and 17, and the parallel accounts in Mark and Luke, and he concluded that these various cases were simply mental problems, inability to speak, blindness, epilepsy, or other forms of physical or mental illness. In regard to Luke 8:1-3, he says, and I quote, "Here several women disciples of Christ are mentioned, and it is said of them that they had been possessed of evil spirits. The details of their possession are not given, but the phrase that is used by Luke puts the possessions in the same category as infirmities. Mary Magdalene was one of the women, and of her it is said that seven demons have been cast out." He further states, "Demon possession, as described in the New Testament, appears to have always been some sort of medical problem, dumbness, blindness, epilepsy, mental illness. Man at this point in history, without the medical knowledge that modern science has brought us, seems to have been looking for a scapegoat when unexplainable things happen. These people did not know what epilepsy was, and so they called it a demon possession. They did not know much about mental illness, so they called it demon possession. They did not understand the cause of dumbness and blindness, so they labeled it demon possession." The writer continues, "Indeed, it seems that anything that did not fit their ideas of normalcy was thought to be demon possession. In John 9:2, the Jews apparently thought that the case of blindness was caused by sin. They asked Jesus whose sin had caused the man to be born blind, his or his parents. Again, we see the habit of these people to relegate peculiar happenings to demon possession in Matthew 11:18. There Jesus said that the Jews claimed John the Baptist to be possessed of a demon because of the unorthodox style he lived. John lived in the wilderness, ate strange food, and did not drink wine. So the Jews concluded that he had a demon. In seeking to lift our Lord out of the very embarrassing position that such a view places him, this writer says, these observations might prompt one to ask, why did not Jesus straighten out their misunderstanding? If the explanation of these biblical cases of possession was to be found in medical terms, why did not Jesus inform them of that? The answer to this question is to be found in the nature of the work that Christ did. He was not a physician of the flesh, but a physician of the soul. It was never his purpose to educate the ignorant of this world in the things of this world. In casting out the demons, he demonstrated the power of God. It was not necessary for those people to understand the nature of human illness in order to see the demonstration of that power. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have given this quotation to set forth the idea that some people have concerning the matter of demons. We totally reject this theory of disease and possession rather than demon possession. What about the reality of demons? Are evil spirits actually spoken of in the Bible? Were demons a reality or just imagined? Did Jesus believe them to be real? Or did he know they were just imagined beings without any reality, therefore accommodated himself to this fancy as one of the deeply ingrained superstitions of the age in which he lived? Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? Who can really believe that? If they were not real, yet the Lord treated them as real, then such actions greatly and grievously reflect upon either the wisdom of God or His goodness. If they were unreal, and He did not know it, this greatly reflects upon His divine wisdom. If they were unreal, and He knew it, but never did correct such superstition in the minds of the disciples, then this was a real reflection upon His goodness and integrity as the teacher of truth. Neither of these is acceptable to the person who really believes the Bible, who believes that Jesus was God in human flesh and understood everything about humanity. My friends, the reality of demons or evil spirits is closely linked and absolutely connected with the entire integrity of the Holy Scriptures. If the Scriptures fail us in any given point, they could hardly be relied upon in all other areas of instruction in righteousness, sobriety, and godliness. In Matthew 10:8, Jesus sent out the 12 apostles on a limited commission and told them to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Hence it is made clear the distinction between the casting out of demons and the healing of the sick and the cleansing of the lepers. Yes, there were those who possessed